in the book of Mark. Mark, the 13th chapter. Verse. For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. Watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at even, or at noon, or at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto you all, watch. 34 through 37, may we pray. Our Father, tonight, thank you for what our ears have heard, our eyes have seen, and our hearts are felt. Thank you for all of the things that's gone in the first part of the service. We pray now that you'll say what you want to say through thy servant in the rest of the service. God bless every pastor this here, every preacher. We pray, Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, that they'll have new courage and new strength and new help after this series of services. Oh God, how we pray that the Holy Spirit shall have full sway. And we'll praise thy name for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Christ is coming suddenly. No long drawn out affair about it. Said it wouldn't have you ignorant, brethren, concerning. Because the trumpet shall sound and he shall come. In the twinkle of an eye, we'll all go up. Dead in Christ will be raised first, and then we that live will be caught up. And then the rest of it will take place. But it's going to be a sudden thing. You're not going to have time to get right with God. You're not going to have time to pray or repent. It's going to happen so quick, in a twinkle of an eye, not a wink, that's too slow. And as a result, he's coming. You say, well, I've heard that all my life, that still don't change it, he's coming. In fact, he hadn't got here, he's coming. Doesn't matter, I don't know why he hadn't got here, it's none of my business, I wish he'd got here today. But he didn't, and I hope he'll make it tonight. If he don't, I'll be looking for him tomorrow. But I know he's a coming because he said he would, and he's done everything else he said he's going to do. He's done all the rest of it. So, my friends, he's coming first of all to get those that he's purchased with his blood. He purchased your soul salvation. I'm his property. You're his property. We're his purchase. We were purchased by the precious blood of the Lamb of God. You're bought with a price. You're not your own. And he paid a price that nobody else can ever pay. Nobody else can ever top the price that he put for us and paid for us. Jesus paid it all. Isn't anything else to be paid? So he's purchased. I'm his purchased possession. And he's coming suddenly to get what belongs to him. He'll leave what belongs to the devil down here with the devil. He'll leave that crowd that's run to the devil down here with him. You belong to the devil. And I belong to him. And everybody else been saved belongs to him. And he's coming after those he's purchased. And it's going to be a sudden appearance. And he's going to get us to fast. You won't know we got gone. Well, it's done being too late. He's coming, my friends, that he purchased us with his blood. There's nobody can keep him from getting us. We're his property. He's paid every price that's necessary. We belong to him. And then we're his jewels and his property. Ye are my jewels. We're the jewelry of the Lord. We belong to him. He's purchased us. He's paid whatever price is necessary. His jewels. He's got a right to take us. He's got a right to get us and cares where he wants us. So he's coming for that, my friends. Then he's coming to get those he fixed up and prepared mansions for. After all, he's been over 2,000 years getting some mansions ready. So he's coming to get us and take us that he's prepared mansions for. He said, if you believe in God and believe also in me, don't let your heart be troubled. I'll go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again and get you received unto myself, that where I am there you may be also. So he's coming to get us, to carry us to where he's fixed a place for us. And my friends, in 6 days you put everything we know about in action. All of creation in 6 days. He's been 2,000 years getting place ready for us already. Just about blows my brain when I try to imagine what it's going to be like. And he hadn't got it all ready yet. You know how I know? He hadn't got back. He said, when I get it fixed, I'll come again and carry it to it. You talk about unusual things in this universe. That's nothing. Because everything he ever did is perfect. He don't have to have nothing to it when it gets through. When God created everything, he saw it was all good. He sat down and rested in the seventh day. Because everything he's created was perfect. He didn't have to add one more feather. He didn't have to add the fourth of an inch or eighth inch to that bird. He didn't have to add one quarter of an inch to the dog's leg. He could walk without crossness. Everything God did, it is perfect. And he set out and rested. And my friends, when Jesus said to us all, and he said, it is finished. So he didn't have to add anything else to it. Ezekiel said, whatever God does, it's forever. You can't add anything to it and take anything from it. When God saved your soul, my friends, he said, all it was finished and sealed up. You can't add nothing to it because it's sealed up. You can't take nothing away from it because it's sealed up. And it's headed to the day of redemption. So, my friends, we see it. There it is. It's all finished. But he's still working on heaven. When I get to think about that, I just have to turn it off. I can't think. 2,000 years, it still ain't ready. But be sure of one, the minute he gets the last little bit of sin fixed. I don't know what all these fixes do. But he said, I go fix it. When I get it fixed, I'll come again. And said, if it wasn't so, I'd have told you. So I don't care what these modern theologians and skeptics and atheists and infidels and infrahellers say. It don't matter. They say he's not coming, and they say he's not this. But Jesus said, it wasn't so, I'll come and tell you. And he hasn't told me yet, so it's still so happening. I don't care what Judah Nigger tells me it ain't so. He's a liar because Jesus said if it's not so, I'll come and tell you. And he ain't going to send nobody. He's a coming. He's coming, my friend, not only to get that which he's purchased and get his jewels, and coming to take us to the place prepared for us. My friends, we stop to realize that won't nothing will hinder when it comes. The planets won't be in the way. The graves won't be in the way. My friends, when it comes to death, in Christ will rise first. The reason that's so will all be on an equal key. See, the ones in the grave are going to live here, not to live. That's simple. strength. He said it's so. And all the forces of evil has never proved it any other way. It's still so. And so, don't make any difference where they bury me. Well, they put me in the bottom of the sea and carry me back on the mountain. Well, they put me in a sealed vault. That don't make any difference. Because when he, as he got out of the grave, he could go behind God's nose. Don't bother him. He'll get you out of any kind of vault. He'll get you out of any kind of grave. He. That is not how terrible. Thousands of feet, or maybe 10,000 feet deep in the bottom of the sea, or somewhere where the count you are. He's coming. Get all of those that's got been saved out of the graveyard, and coming to get us, get them with us who are living, and then he's going to take us the way. That's what he's coming for. Gather up all the saved that are dead and pick up all the lives that's saved and carry them to the place he's prepared. Well, don't know when he gets through. May just have one more nail to drive, so to speak. May just have one more thing to touch. He's open. And here he comes. Quickly. That's the reason you better have your bags checked and ready. Come in, my friends, to get his bride. Come in to get his bride. Praise God. He's coming to get her. That's what he's coming for. Coming to get his bride, and it belongs to him, and nobody can keep him from getting his bride. It's Jesus' wife. And he's God's daughter, and ain't nobody can part of it. God's in this thing. His son's in it. He's coming after his bride, and he's going to get us. Wow, he's going to get us. You hadn't got in on the bride crowd. You better be get to be a bride right quick. Then, my friends, what's he going to do with her? Going to care to suffer? It's supper time. It's banqueting time. It's honoring time. And he's going to come and get the bride and take her to supper. We're going to supper. And we're going to get acknowledged before all the angels and the Father and everybody else. It's honoring time. Coming because it's supper time. That's what he's coming for, is to take you and I to supper. To get us at the honoring banquet. He's coming to separate the saints from the sinners. Thank God. We have to put up with them down here cussing us and spitting on us and lying on us and aggravating us. But I'll tell you, he's fixing to come and get it down. That bunch of God-hating, Christ-hating, church-hating, cussing, fussing, lying, persecuting, ridiculing, and nasty mouthful, we need more to come and pick us up and take us out of that trouble and leave them down here cussing. He's coming to get me out of the devil's crowd. He's coming quickly to get you out of the devil's crowd. That's what he's coming for. Separate the saints from the sinners. To separate the wheat from the chaff. We've been in to separate the wheat from the tares. The devil's throw his tares that come up to try to choke us out. All these years we've been choked with the smothering, persecution, and ridicule, and cussing, and fun-making, and sneering, and snubbing. But he's coming to get the wheat out of the tares. He's coming, my friends, to get the chaff out of the wheat. That's what he's coming for. He's coming, my friends. He's coming to separate the sheep from the goats. Thank God we'll be through that boat. I like to touch butts. preaching, but bless God, he's coming to get us out of the box. What is coming for? To get us out of the button crowd. Now will be a day when I won't have to say, well, much. Well, much. Be out of the button crowd, and that'll be worth everything. Not only that, my friends, he's coming to get one out of the field. And leave one in the field. He's coming to get that old saint of God. It's gone out there and toiled through the years. Some time ago, there's a godly little old woman didn't have much of this world's goods. She'd gone out and picked cotton. The stickers on the burrs had punched her fingers till her fingers was bleeding. And she continued to pick until it stained the cotton red. And the little grandson said, Granny, your fingers are bleeding. What do you want to pick this old cotton for? Till you make your fingers bleed. She said, Honey, so I can pick some tithe up at the church Sunday and make an offering so God's man will feed me and my family the gospel. That old saint out there that's punched the old mule and picked the cotton, he's coming to get them faithful farmers out of the field and leave his fucking small cows there. And let me say something right here to you preachers. You Sunday school teachers, particularly you preachers, if some old saint goes out and works till his fingers squeeze, digging to bring an offering and a tithe to support you while you preach, you ought to be ashamed if you don't hear the word from your head. God help us to see it. He's coming to get those old saints in the field. They find the time for God. They think God is fishing for God. They're taking seeds and picking them for God. If they're cutting them, they're cutting for God. And God's coming to get the folks out of the fields that's been living for him. Coming, my friends, to get one out of the bed and to leave one. He's coming, if you please, to get that godly wife that you've been a cussing and a fussing on because you're trying to go to church with you. He's coming to get that godly wife and leave you old cussing, rebellious husband in the bed by yourself. He's coming, if you please, to get that godly husband out of the bed and take him home and leave a bunch of you women and spend 2 minutes in a punching and a touching and no living right. He's coming to get those little children of yours that haven't come to age and come out of the bed and leave you all hard on and out of the country and ground and red and booze heads down there at home. What he's coming for? He's coming, if you please, to get those who are saved out of the bed, out of the fields, out of your house, and to leave you who've been rebelling on God, and rebelling on the gospel, and rebelling on the church. He's coming to get you out of there, and let you rebel and warm the hell. He's coming, my friend, to get the old saints of God yards. You'd be going by the graveyard and all of a sudden that it all come up. You say, well, we get scared all the time. When you want Jesus is coming, my friends. Come and separate the saved from the hypocrites. He knows which one. He said Judas was one. And said he'd been one from the beginning. He knows who you hypocrites are. You better run and pray and stand and preach and teach and teach. But if you've not been born again by the Spirit of God, he'll lead you down here. He'll lead you hypocrites there. He's coming to get the same out of the hypocrites. Some of you say, well, how long have you been out of the hypocrites? How long have you been in the church of them hypocrites? Well, fellas, they're all be left here for you and you won't have nobody around. But they're hypocrites. All of us saints are somewhere back.
We've done took over.
And let's do that with nobody but hypocrites. Hey, I'd rather be saved in the church of a few of them than to be left out there to hold your man. Yes, he's coming to get the saved out of hypocrites. Get the wheat out of the tares. That's what he's coming for. He's not coming just be coming. He's coming to get something. So my friends, we stop to realize he's coming then to gather his army. Let me call your attention to the book of Revelation here right quick. Revelation 9. Chapter and the 16th verse. 9:16. And the number of the army of the horsemen were 200,000. And I heard the number of them. Then look in chapter 19. And the 14th verse. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in white linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he should rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and the wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture, and on his thigh name written, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God, that you may eat the flesh of kings and flesh of captains, flesh of mighty men, flesh of horses, and of them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth, and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophets that wrought miracles before him, and with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. And we stopped to realize then, he's coming, my friends, with his army to put out of business the crowd that's been a-fighting him, and he's young through the years. He's coming, if you please, with his army, coming after the rulers and the kings and the queens and all that crowd that stood against him, rose up against him, raised nations against him, got crowds to fight him. But he's coming now with his army to take over and to win the victory. He's coming, my friends, to something else. He's coming to make every knee bow and every tongue confess that he is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Look in Philippians, if you will, the book of Philippians, the 2nd chapter, and you find these words, 10th and 11th verses. And that the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, things in earth, things under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God our Father. He's coming. He's a coming. He's a coming to make every mouth. Kings, queens, rich, poor, haters, not here. Everything. Coming to make every mouth. Every tongue confess that he is the Son of God. The Lord of Lords. The King of Kings. You ain't infidels, you atheists, you agnostics, you skeptics, and you Jehovah Witness crowd in Armstrong's house. All the rest of the devil crowd pop their knees and say, Son of God, Jesus Christ, Lord, Son of God. That crowd will shut up there, saying there ain't no Christ. He's coming to make every knee bow and every tongue confess him as the Son of God. Coming to make everything that's wrong his footstool. Come to put everything under his feet that's not right with God and make it his footstool. He's a coming to cast the sinners, the unsaved, in the fire of hell forever. Coming to cast the devil and his angels into the lake of fire forever. That's what he's coming for, is to put the devil and his angels in hell and to cast all of the sinners in hell. Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting hell fire prepared for the devil and his angels. I never knew you. Yes, he's coming to put the sinners and the rebellers and ungodly in hell with their crowd and separate the sheep from the goats, the saints from the saved. Coming to say, depart from me into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Depart from me and go where you're prepared for. Yes, that's what he's coming for. Coming, coming to close the beelass. Coming to close the gates of hell. Coming to wind up the devil and all of his forces and all of his victories. And to reign and rule throughout eternity with me and you as the heirs and the joint heirs. Coming! Rough. Rough. But he's coming. When the Japanese did what they did, old MacArthur said, I'll be back. Shall return. Many of our men became captured, became prisoners of war. Among them was General Rainwright. He lay in the prison camp of the Japs until his body was almost nothing but skin and bones. Couldn't eat. Didn't have no bath, hadn't shaved. Lying there, waiting. And they'd curse him, try to starve him, mistreat him. Every way the Japs could torture him, they were torturing him. But MacArthur sent word, get word to General Rainwright that I'm coming. They continued to torture the soldiers until they had no care for themselves. Just skeletons, no bath, no incentive to eat or clean up. Somewhere or another, the message slipped through to Wainwright. An old general got up and shaved himself, bathed himself, and straightened up. And the Jap said, something happened. He's coming. MacArthur's coming. And he did. The soldiers was free. Devil's crowd stowed their slime on us, hemmed us in and cussed us and hated us. And a bunch of us will probably suffer in dungeons and burn at the stake. But get word, fellas. He's coming. Wash up!